Welcome in. Also, Five Star Zone is up. The full conversation with Rico, Tony Garcia, Michigan preview quarterback situation. We talked about it to open the show. But I want to bring up something different because Jeremy Otto is now 2 for 2 upsetting me. There won't be a third time. Kenny will be doing updates the rest of today. Listen, what he just said, you have to allow me a moment. This is the boomer bistro, okay? So I need all of my people over the age of 40 to rally up with me here. Don't be afraid. Don't let Rico bully you. Don't let these people who make fun of you for not loving everything about college football right now. Oklahoma State wearing a QR code on their helmet that sends you to a link to fund their NIL?
Mm-hmm.
On the heels yesterday of Mike Gundy publicly saying, tell your agents to please stop calling and asking for more money. The portal reopens in December. Can we just play football? Think about that statement. Now, I'm going to ask a question, and you're not required to have any reaction to this. I know Rico won't, other than to mock me or perhaps burp in my face. It is simple. When I give you headlines like this, QR codes on the helmet, and a coach openly saying, I'm spending more time, my phone will not stop ringing with agents asking for more money in the height of training camp with the portal closed. Not that Bobby broke up with his girlfriend or Johnny's struggling at math class or some other guy just misses home. No. No, we don't even have time to play the parental role anymore as coaches. Now it is scumbag agent wanting to renegotiate something we just took care of before we ever play it down. I want to know what your reaction is to that as a college football fan. Now, you know mine. This is what is killing my ability to love this sport. Because what we've lost is any, even if it is on an illusion level, we have lost any semblance of things making sense. Young player who's never taken a snap or done anything meaningful on the field chooses to go to a school. You want to get paid? I have no problem. But this idea of give me more, or I don't like the way you talk to me today, or I should be starting. Wah, 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 wah. Now you got guys wanting to re-up before they line up. Guys, I need you to talk to either talk me off the ledge or push me over it. Either way, I find it hard for you to say you have no opinion. A QR code on a helmet, Rico? Are you serious?
The QR code, Mike, could be brilliant. Here's why.
I knew it. I knew it, David. I knew it.
No. Here's why.
It was your idea.
No! Imagine, if you would, let's just say that the QR code existed and NIL existed in 2015. Do you realize how rich Jalen Watts Jackson would have gotten after the Michigan game? People, every State fan would have been donating to this kid saying, congratulations, way to go, you beat Michigan. Or imagine, as Kenny and I were saying, you're a better, and you just won a ton of scratch because this guy helped you get the over, so you scan the QR code and say, you know what, son, you're going to get a little taste of this too. There you go.
I mean, you're just morally bereft. You're what? A corrupt human being.
He's right, though. I could actually see a world where somebody wins a big pot all this money, and they're like, I'll just sprinkle some at this kid.
Yeah, one of those Matt bets. And
okay, just for a moment, you two can take it to six, but I'm just going to sit on this side of the street.
Wait, we're acting like the NCAA and college football has morality?
No, I didn't say that. There's a limit to everything. The fact that Mike Gundy had to say that yesterday is disgusting. The fact that he says it while his school is putting a QR code on their effing helmet is disgusting. Here, I'll tell you what. Michigan and Michigan State fans, how would you feel if there was a QR code? That's beyond the pale.
And Mike, I'm saying if the QR code existed, Jalen would have been a rich man after that game.
That isn't even a part of the topic.
No, you how is it not? Because people would have scanned the code and gave him money.
But it's today. That's 10 years ago. By the way, 10 years ago.
Okay, so what I'm saying then, if this year, Alante Brown scores the game-winning touchdown, and MSU goes into the Big House and beats Michigan. And they had that. Spartan fans would scan his helmet on TV, and they would donate a ton of money to that young man.
We're arguing two separate things.
So now the players are strippers.
Right, exactly.
Do something for me, and I will pay for you.
Sting will play us out in the boom room.
That's what the QR code is. You're a stripper for me. Dance for me,
David,
and I'll pay you.
Why do you think that they're putting the QR codes on the back of the helmet?
Like, it's stupid.
You're saying we're arguing two different things. Maybe I missed a point here. If you put the QR code on the helmet that links to the NIL, then yes.
It's in concert with knowing that if I'm an Oklahoma State fan and my coach is out here going, we're in training camp, I don't have time for this. Agents calling a coach to re-up before they line up?
Hmm.
No!
Oh, I'm not saying that's right. No, I mean, Mike, that ranks right up there with, I just transferred to this school in order to transfer out four weeks later.
Yeah, Caden Proctor, the kid who he was at Alabama, goes to Iowa, goes back to Bama. I just want to know what your reaction is when you guys hear headlines like this. If your reaction is to agree with Rico, I'm not mad. I'm saying.
And before you paint me in another corner
you
love doing, no, the whole leaving and asking for more. Look, once you strike up your deal, I'm old school. Son, honor your deal. Okay? You don't get to go back because you had a good game. Because if you have a bad game, I can't come and ask you for money back.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, once you sign on that dotted line, I don't want to hear from you until next time this year.
No, that's what Mike Gundy's dealing with.
I'm 100% with Mike Gundy at that. No, we are not doing this. Period. End of discussion.
How am I supposed to like my players? That's really the question. Yeah. How the hell am I supposed to like this?
If they win for you, you don't care.
Oh, no. Disagree. Because if they win, now they're going to want to redo their deal or they're going to bolt.
Okay, and what you'll say is, I got my title. It would be nice if we could run it back, but if you want to leave, I got the hat, t-shirt.
No, hold on, I got to do a cat. Got to do it. You're doing a binary thing. It's all or nothing. No, forget about the title. Let's say State had a really successful season and went 8-4. I mean, I'd sign a dotted line right now if they could win 8 games. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden now, Aiden Childs didn't win no title. In fact, they probably didn't even beat anyone good. And now, boom, $4 million, he's going to Miami. How am I supposed to invest in these people?
You can't.
But that kills my ability to love it. And I want to know what people's reaction is. I know you're an iron will.
No. It's not, Mike, but you keep saying it affects your ability to love it, but you won't get this angry if you didn't love it. You still love it. Whether you want to admit it or not, you still love it.
Do I go to the games?
Mike,
do I wear the gear?
Mike, if it didn't matter to you, this wouldn't be on the show sheet. But there's passion there.
Yes, because I miss it.
Buddy, you miss it because you still love it. It's there.
Okay, fine.
Here's the thing.
It's okay, Ben.
And both of them together, that's what I'm upset with the QR code, because of what Gundy says. This QR code seems like a compromise. I'm tired of hearing from the agent, so let's compromise and give them another way to make money when we should be just worried about watching and playing football. That's all, as a fan, I want to do. I don't want to see this on my screen where you can do this. I don't want to have to see that. I want to just watch football, not think about NIL while I'm watching it.
And David, I don't even think Gundy had anything to do with the QR code. I think that was just going to happen. It's unfortunate that two things came out on the same day because it makes him look like a hypocrite. I don't think he had anything to do with this.
And that's the only way I can think of it as a compromise, because it does look like that.
Because Gundy, to me, is one of those old school coaches, I just want to coach. It's why Chip Kelly just said, forget it. I don't want to do this anymore. I'll make me an offensive coordinator somewhere so I can be happy.
Nick Saban said I'd had enough.
So I don't think that... I don't think he had anything to do with this. Now, is it innovative? I don't know. I just think it's another way the schools are just trying to pimp their fan base and getting more money to the players so they don't have to. So, for the record, no, I'm not a big fan of players asking for more money. I think that you sign the deal.
So, what is your reaction to any of it? I don't think there can be no reaction. I think your reaction is, I'm fine with this. The QR code is cool. Or you're like me where you're going, this is so stupid.
like the fact that Mike Gundy, who has won an average of 9 games a year, he has a good program at Okie State, has agents calling him in training camp to renegotiate when the portal's not even open. How am I supposed to care? Like, it, there has to be a space if 90% of things is about money. There always has to be 10%. Life, business, relationships. It can't be about money. It can't be.
Right.
This is 100% money. And that kills what people like me, boomers, love about the game. That on some level, we felt like these guys, a part of them, cared about the same stuff I did. That they're on the same campus I was at. That they went to the classroom I was in. That they were one of us. That they actually liked it there on some level. While getting paid, no problem. Now, I'm with David. This is just, it's nonsense. I'm even out of words, David. I'm out of words.
You need Jeremy in here?
Yeah, it's beefy.
Beefy, all right.
That's Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State head coach. I'm a man, I'm 40. How disgusting is that comment? I'm not even mad at Gundy. I mean, think about it. I want to know what your reaction is now. Like, again, if it has no impact and you're able to just root for the helmet, you don't get involved on a granular level, you don't care what's actually going on, that's fine. I'm not mad at you. I just want to know why you get mad at me, because I say I'm not cool with it. It is impacting my ability to care about any of this. Beyond, I bet on Team X. That's it. It is really hard to find a passion, because even if you invest, you immediately have to worry you're going to lose that player.
That is true.
That's hard, Rico. That's really tough for me.
Now, yes, the offseason is going to be very hard for college football fans. Mike, it's why I said I can't wait to see how I feel once the game starts, because then maybe I forget about it. And you dread the offseason, but you look forward to the season. I know it because it's going to turn into a community college where roster turnover is going to be an every year type of thing, where you went from being a perennial powerhouse this year to barely winning 5 games the next year to being in the playoffs. And it's, that may be how the game is going to evolve until they get a real commissioner to say, hey, here's the hard and fast rules. It's only going to be this. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. Other than that, yes, you're correct. After this Saturday or games that you care about, maybe it's like, you know what? Yeah, the offseason sucked, but these are the guys we got. Let's roll with it, and I'll deal with the transfer portal when it opens up. Because you're right. You know, wow, somehow Michigan State went 10-2. Yeah, you better punt. Mike, can we just have the argument?
I didn't say anything.
Really? So don't believe my lying eyes. I'm adding to
you. He didn't even say a word.
David, it was the look that he gave me. The whole, the only thing missing was Mortimer. You're then going to say your star players are going to leave unless you pony up a ridiculous amount of money to keep them there.
Or you get this, just what this text came in with. Here come the college holdouts. Or you get that.
Yeah.
Because it's NFL football now, where you don't get your contract, you don't get more money from the school.
Think about this. Take Mike Gundy, for example. Use the very team we're talking about. What if Ollie Gordon's agent holds him up a week before the opener and goes, here's the deal. $200,000 or I don't suit up. That team can't afford to not have Ollie Gordon play. Heisman Trophy running back. Key to their entire power scheme. Rico, this is where I have no problem that Ollie Gordon got his money. Mm-hmm. But the idea that these players are sticking a coach up in training camp?
Right. Well, that's what I said. Man. Until you get an actual organization that levies some rules. Well, heck, I mean, Mike, that happened with Jordan Hall last year. Well, he wasn't going to play in a game because an NIL check didn't cash.
Well, that I don't have a problem with. How do you bounce a check to a kid? Or how do you not? That's wrong.
Right.
I don't even blame the kid. David, the ticket text. Then we'll get to the callers.
Mike, I'm 32, and I'm definitely a get-off-my-lawn guy. College football has lost it for me. Mike Rico, I'm 24. This NIL QR code stuff is ridiculous.
Like, who's going to sit on their couch? I'm asking this question. Rico wouldn't. Kenny, you're watching Georgia. You're going to flip Carson Beck at 10 because you hit your parlay? No, I don't see it.
Absolutely not.
Like, the way I view it, too, and I know this is weird, especially for Michigan fans, is I actually went to the school I root for. So it's a little different. Okay. I already cut them a big check. It's called tuition.
Right, but here's the thing.
Why would I pay for these people?
I wouldn't pay Stetson on his back-to-back natty run. No, I'm not doing that.
But no. But let's talk about Kenny with a few pops in him.
Uh-oh.
And it's like, how many times have you made a ridiculous bet at a casino or something? Because it was, you know what? Screw it. Let's just, hey, Carson Beck has the game-winning score over Alabama. Kenny's feeling good. You know what, kid? Here's a little taste. Here's 50 bucks.
I just think it's silly. I'm more with the Mike Gundy opinion of don't talk to me until next offseason. I'm tired of this. I don't want to hear from your agent. I don't want to hear from you. Go out and play football.
Let's go to Frank 97.1. Frankie, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, Mike. Thank you for taking my call, buddy.
Frank, it's good to hear from you again. What's going on, pal?
Yeah, Mike, I was just wondering, do you ever think that if they get a new commissioner in college, that it would go back to where you have to wait a year before you can transfer again?
Ooh, Rico, I want you to weigh in on this. I don't think they can do it, Frank. It's going to be a right-to-work lawsuit.
Yeah, that, Frank, that's one of those things I don't think you can go backwards on. You may be able to curtail all of the movement and the money, but once you said that the kids can now just play immediately. Now, here's what may happen, Frank. You get one free one. And then after that, you have to sit out. So choose your next school. We'll allow you to say we made a mistake. I didn't mean to go to this school. I want to go to this school. My coach got fired. But after that, you now have to sit out if you transfer. I think that would stop a lot of the movement.
I see. Yeah. That's true, Mike. That's true. You know, I years ago, I couldn't wait for college football to start. But I could care less now if they were playing in my backyard. I'm just going to wait for Sundays now and root for my two favorite pro teams. The one is with the Lions. I think they're going to do great this year. And the other one is a team that brought so much joy to me in my life, the New England Patriots.
Yeah, and Frank, listen, I think that's the danger zone for college football is they don't realize the NFL's taking all the oxygen in the room. Like, it's this is – people don't need college the way they think they do. The NFL – think about it. NFL never used to bother on Thursday nights. It was a college night. They never used to bother on a Friday or a Black Friday. That was a college day. They never would dare play on New Year's Day. It was a college day. NFL has steamrolled them. They're playing every day during the holidays. They're playing on Black Friday. They're playing on Thursday. They're playing on Monday. Rico's pivoting to try to get a Tuesday afternoon game, a little brunch game.
Oh, we call it the Steelers COVID game.
Oh, that was like Steelers Ravens at 3:00 PM on Tuesday.
We were watching it live.
Jesus,
this is going to be a pivotal year for college football because of everything that's going on. And Mike, you're frustrated, and you're not in the minority. There are a lot of people who are like you, and if college football does not deliver a product that keeps the interest, I think that after this year, the number will grow. And then they're going to get desperate and have to do something to try to maintain the people. But that's why I say this year, this better be great. The playoffs better be intriguing. And I think they're banking on the fact that come November, 20 programs will still have a shot at the 12 spots. And you'll at least get those fan bases to care because you'll say, well, if we just run the table and we get a little bit of help. It's kind of like how we talk about if the Tigers were in the wild card hunt. You're not necessarily in the playoffs, but you still care enough that you're following everything. Yeah. They're hoping for that. If it's not that, and we just know who the 12 teams are on Halloween, oh, man, this system's screwed.
But I give you an example. Michigan, Ohio State, and I've said this, it's not like new. They got to move that game from the end of the season. Why? Well, A, there's a shot they're both getting into the playoff, which means they could meet twice. But there's even a shot they could meet the next week in the Big Ten title game. And then obviously both go to the playoffs. You could play each other three times. That destroys the meaning to Michigan and Ohio State. Now, that situation, albeit rare, there are enough of those that if you just take the edge off some of those rivalries, that
for a guy like me, that greatly impacts.
Yeah, but see, I think that's an anomaly because I remember them saying the same thing when they did the whole Leaders and Legends. Like, you realize that they could play, and then they could play again. Because remember, they had to put Michigan and Ohio State in the opposite, and it never happened.
Those divisions were the right ones.
I know, but people made fun of the names. So what happened? The Big Ten panicked and said, okay, we're sorry. It was stupid. It was like, no, just change the names. But you had a great – you broke it apart beautifully, but that never happened. So I get what you're saying, what if, but – I think that the chances of that happening is less than 1%. That they
what if
end
they're
up
both already in the playoff, then what the hell does the game mean in the first place? That's the other thing.
Pride. Are you kidding?
There's pride in college football? Is there?
For certain games, and Michigan, Ohio State, I'm not a part of it. But, yes, from what I hear from both sides of the fences, they're both. Mike, they could be 0-11. They just want to beat each other.
They say that.
No.
It's going to feel different when it's not winner take all. The magic of that game in 21, 22, it was winner take all.
Is it 06? I mean, 04?
Oh, the Sean Crable game.
It will still hold. Like, Auburn and Alabama will always hold meaning. There are certain games that no matter what.
It just means more. All right, let's go straight to the people. If you just hung up the phone, you missed out because we were going right to the lines. I don't know what happened. Six people decided to launch themselves into space. Let's go over to James, 97.1. James, how you doing, buddy?
Good. I'm doing very well. There's a lot of donor fatigue. I'm a donor, not a big-time donor, but to Western Michigan University. I've got a couple of degrees. I'm 80 years old. And I'm pretty tired when you talk about loyalty to the university. When athletes are not going to be loyal to Western, especially MAC teams.
Right.
Anybody that's halfway decent, they're going to be gone. During our great season in 2015, we'd have lost the whole team. Corey Davis, everybody would have been gone after 1 year. And the way it's scheduling, too, having night games in the middle of November, which, you know, the fans, donors are not respected in that way. So a lot of us are giving much more to academics than to athletics.
Well, James, I think there's a way we can try to fix this. And look, I think it goes without saying, I hate the current state of college football, and I hate what it's done to conferences like the MAC and the Sun Belt and the AAC. But there might be a way to fix this, which is the following. That while you play on the same level of football, and the best non-Power 4 team is going to get into the playoff, we need to create a sub-playoff for the non-power teams, and here's how you would do it. $10, $15, $20 million bounty. Winner take all. School gets 10, roster gets 10. And that way, no one's opting out, and we have a 12 or a 16-team playoff for the G5, and we play.
And you got right. You have something to play for that's tangible, rather than being that one team that makes it to the college football playoff knowing, man, you're set up to fail.
But I think it's necessary, James, in order for guys like you to have fun and to feel like you're still a part of it. If you have a big financial win for university and the players on the roster, I don't know. They got to do something because right now, I mean, James, I don't ever expect you to do it or listen. But like when you're doing prep work before the season and you're looking at the MAC and you're seeing a team like Ohio, who is such a proud program in the MAC, get decimated to a point where they're not even a team this fall. Like what? Correct. That's crazy to me. And that's hard for me as a fan to even respect what the hell we're doing. The MAC used to be a spot for under-recruited kids in the Midwest to go, play, develop, and maybe, if you're really good, at a certain point you would transfer for your senior year. Now? Please.
I don't think we're this far away from where the MAC schools and the Group of Five schools almost become a minor league system for certain programs. So you would adopt a team. I'm not saying it's going to, Mike, I'm just, the way things are going, where all of a sudden, hey, you run our offense, you run our defense. When your guys get good, you send them up to us. If our guys are flops, we're going to send them down to you.
Yeah, I'll just sign out. I that's fine. I'm not arguing the validity of your claim. I'm telling you I have no interest in that. That's crazy.
The college football that you grew up with, Mike, you realize is never coming back.
Yes.
Okay.
I was okay with like half of that. What we have arrived at is a circus.
Well, that's why I said this season better be spectacular or it's going to blow up in their face.
Or you join the Wambulance?
I'm not going to join the Wambulance.
Damn.
But I I can't get when people like you, it's like, okay, give it a chance first to see if you like it.
Well, I'm
and
giving,
if you don't, no,
and, giving you real things I have given a chance to, and now we're finally starting to see real NIL and portal erosion and that, destroying college football.
Mike, it's not an attack. I'm saying this year, if things are bad, there's going to be more people who feel like you, and I, like, you know what? I can't stand in your way.
But the problem
you have every
is,
right to feel that way.
It's more and more being added on top of each other. That's the if it was one thing saying, oh, QR codes in the back of the helmets, but that was the one thing,
David.
But it's not the one thing.
And but this is where the problem lies. Basically, this college football is being run by a substitute teacher. You need somebody who to walk in and just say, no, sit down, shut up, get to your desk, open up your notebook, and write something down and learn something.
I'll do it.
That they need somebody. And that's what's missing because it's cannibalizing itself.
David, I got time for one more, maybe. Okay, then Spencer's up next. 97.1. Hi, Spencer.
Hey, David. Mike, how you doing?
Good, guys. What's going on? How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, this whole thing is absolutely dumb, okay? Because I don't want to be watching college football and have the NIL shoved down my throat, okay? You get a contract. You signed your name on the line. That's what you get. If you're not happy with it, guess what? Don't care. Deal with it next season when contracts come up again.
No, I agree with you.
I mean,
now these
kids are going to pout because, oh, I'm not getting enough money. Well, then guess what? I mean, nut up and shut up and just play football. Do what you're supposed to do.
Well, and that's the problem I have. I mean, and Spencer, look, I know what I'm about to say. Rico's going to reach over and strangle me. There is an element of this. They are getting a free education. It's not like that disappeared. And I'm fine if they get paid. But when I'm seeing guys who aren't even that good get $300,000, we've lost cabin pressure. That's ridiculous. It's totally absurd.
It's disgraceful.
Well, and it's hard for the average guy who's taken, let's say a guy's a proud alum and he's got two kids just starting high school and he's sitting in the stadium and he's got to explain to two high schoolers the quarterback's making $1 million yet he's never thrown a pass in college. I'm sorry. That's never what I intended for NIL. I thought if a kid got 50 grand, it was a big win. Maybe your high-level guys would touch six figures. This is silliness. Right.
What I'm saying is like this, you can't just pull out a progressive name your price tool. It's just not how it works.
No, that's the problem. It's just the minute any of these kids face adversity, they're out.
The worst thing that happened, they allowed all of this with no rules. And now you're seeing what happens. It's push the boundaries. See how far we can go before we go too far, and you're going to get donor fatigue, and that's where you're going to get the back.
You and I have talked about this. Yeah, I mean, we both have plenty of people in the college football realm at other colleges, too.
Oh, you wanted me to spend $500,000 on this guy who sits the bench and he sucks. And good luck asking me again for more money.
Guys that are in my sphere that have the level of money to be, you know, difference makers to a program, not one of them donate.
Right. So unless you get somebody on in their last chapter of life like Phil Knight who just says, just take it all.
Man, I'm old. I want a title.
Just take it all.
Shoes you wear. Win.
Can't take it with me. Help me out. Get me a title.
This is their best shot. They don't do it. I'm going to start asking questions about Dan Lanning. All right. Let's go around the world of college football. You got week zero this weekend, albeit it's pretty lame. But we do have Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Dublin, so at least that's something. If you want to be a total degenerate, you could watch SMU at Nevada, but I wouldn't advise it.
Nothing says Seminole like Dublin.
I know, right? Yeah. The spirit of the Irish with Florida State and Georgia Tech. David, music.
So we're going to do a little bit of a preview here. Later in the week, all of us will give our 12-team playoff bracket. But ESPN kind of goes through some things here that we can kind of preview regarding the playoff here. First is the group of five power rankings when it comes to, because the playoff, one team will get in. So at number five, they have the Miami of Ohio Red Hawks.
Disgusting.
They are looking to become the first team to win back-to-back MAC football titles since Northern Illinois in 11 and 12.
They are the Iowa
of the MAC. They play a mind-numbing, sleep-inducing brand of football. Chuck Martin refuses to go for it even on fourth and inches. I don't know what to tell you. Gabbert is gone. It's Blaine Gabbert's little bro. I don't know, man. I think Bowling Green probably wins the MAC. But again, the networks, scumbags like this guy, they ain't ever let Miami, Ohio win.
That's just hurtful, man.
Hey, but it's
true. You know, I'm sitting right here. I can hear you.
I thought it was a direct approach. I say no to that.
I say no as well, but my feelings are hurt, David.
Next,
I may just hit the portal for this segment.
Next on the power rankings for them will be Liberty.
Nope.
42%. They've won. They have the highest percentage of group of five teams to win the conference, but they have the worst schedule country at 134.
Thank you. And second of all, scumbags like this man.
You know what?
They're not putting.
I'm not putting up with this.
They are not putting that team into the playoff after what they did in the New Year's Six last year, where they showed their ass versus Oregon. I think a 12-0 Liberty would get passed up by an 11-1 anybody.
Does Liberty play anybody worth anything this year?
They have the worst schedule in the country, so no.
A lot of times they have like one game that if you win that one.
No. Okay. Like at least Boise State goes to Outson.
Right.
And they'll be three touchdown underdogs, but maybe they could show they belong.
Or you pull off the upset, and it's just like, yep, yeah, you can't deny them because when they play one of the big boys, they actually beat them.
No, because when the playoff comes around, Liberty's going to be doing what their old president did. They'll be like old Jerry sitting in the corner.
All righty then. Walleye. Let's go to the next team on the list.
Hey, somebody call the pool boy.
Walleye. David, read something.
Appalachian State. They haven't had a losing season during this past decade in the FBS.
Yeah.
And since joining the Sun Belt, 95%. They've won 95 games.
Yeah, App State Liberty is basically a de facto playoff game.
You're going to be a problem.
What are you talking about? Liberty's just going to be sitting in the corner watching the action.
Right. Talk about Appalachian State here.
For App State, David, it's possible. It depends on what they do against Clemson. When they go to Clemson, it looks like
if they beat Liberty lose to Clemson, and they're 11-1 and Liberty's 12-0, App State's going. All right, let's go straight to the people. If you just hung up the phone, you missed out because we were going right to the lines. I don't know what happened. Six people decided to launch themselves into space. Let's go over to James 97.1. James, how you doing, buddy?
Good. I'm doing very well. There's a lot of donor fatigue. I'm a donor, not a big-time donor, but to Western Michigan University. I've got a couple of degrees. I'm 80 years old. And I'm pretty tired when you talk about loyalty to the university when athletes are not going to be loyal to Western, especially MAC teams.
Right.
Anybody gets halfway decent, they're going to be gone. During our great season in 2015, we'd have lost the whole team. Corey Davis, everybody would have been gone after 1 year. And the way it's scheduling, too, having night games in the middle of November, which, the fans, donors are not respected in that way. So a lot of us are giving much more to academics than to athletics.
Well, James, I think there's a way we can try to fix this. And look, I think it goes without saying, I hate the current state of college football, and I hate what it's done to conferences like the MAC and the Sun Belt and the AAC. But there might be a way to fix this, which is the following. That while you play on the same level of football and the best non-Power 4 team is going to get into the playoff, we need to create a sub-playoff for the non-Power teams. And here's how you would do it. $10, $15, $20 million bounty. Winner take all. School gets 10, roster gets 10. And that way no one's opting out. And we have a 12 or a 16-team playoff for the G5. And we play.
And you got right. You have something to play for that's tangible rather than being that one team that makes it to the college football playoff knowing, man, you're set up to fail.
But I think it's necessary, James, in order for guys like you to have fun and to feel like you're still a part of it. If you have a big financial win for university and the players on the roster, I don't know. They got to do something because right now, James, I don't ever expect you to do it or listen, but like when you're doing prep work before the season and you're looking at the MAC and you're seeing a team like Ohio, who is such a proud program in the MAC, get decimated to a point where they're not even a team this fall. Like what? That's crazy to me. And that's hard for me as a fan to even respect what the hell we're doing.
The MAC used to be a spot for under-recruited kids in the Midwest to go, play, develop, and maybe, if you're really good, at a certain point you would transfer for your senior year. Now?
I don't think we're this far away from where the MAC schools and the Group of Five schools almost become a minor league system for a certain program. So you would adopt a team. I'm not saying it's going to, Mike, I'm just, the way things are going, where all of a sudden, hey, you run our offense, you run our defense. When your guys get good, you send them up to us. If our guys are flops, we're going to send them down to you.
Yeah, I'll just sign out. I that's fine. I'm not arguing the validity of your claim. I'm telling you I have no interest in that. That's crazy.
The college football that you grew up with, Mike, you realize is never coming back.
Yes.
Okay.
I was okay with like half of that. What we have arrived at is a circus.
Well, that's why I said this season better be spectacular or it's going to blow up in their face.
Or you join the Wambulance?
I'm not going to join the Wambulance.
Damn.
But I can't get, when people like you, it's just like, okay, give it a chance first to see if you like it.
Well, giving you real things I have given a chance to, and now we're finally starting to see real NIL and portal erosion and that, destroying college football.
Mike, it's not an attack. I'm saying this year, if things are bad, there's going to be more people who feel like you, and I, like, you know what? I can't stand in your way.
But the problem
is, you have every
is,
right to feel that way.
It's more and more being added on top of each other. That's the. If it was one thing saying, oh, QR codes in the back of the helmets, but that was the one thing,
David.
But it's not the one thing.
But this is where the problem lies. Basically, this college football is being run by a substitute teacher. You need somebody who to walk in and just say, no, sit down, shut up, get to your desk, open up your notebook, and write something down and learn something.
I'll do it.
They need somebody. And that's what's missing because it's cannibalizing itself.
David, I got time for one more, maybe. Okay, then Spencer's up next, 97.1. Hi, Spencer.
Hey, David. Mike, how you doing?
Good, guys. What's going on? How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, this whole thing is absolutely dumb, okay? Because I don't want to be watching college football and have the NIL shoved down my throat, okay? You get a contract. You signed your name on the line. That's what you get. If you're not happy with it, guess what? Don't care. Deal with it next season when contracts come up again.
No, I agree with you.
I mean,
now these
kids are going to pout because, oh, I'm not getting enough money. Well, then guess what? I mean, nut up and shut up and just play football. Do what you're supposed to do.
Well, and that's the problem I have. I mean, and Spencer, look, I know what I'm about to say. Rico's going to reach over and strangle me. There is an element of this. They are getting a free education. It's not like that disappeared. And I'm fine if they get paid. But when I'm seeing guys who aren't even that good get $300,000, we've lost cabin pressure. That's ridiculous. It's totally absurd.
It's disgraceful.
But it's hard for the average guy who's taken, let's say a guy's a proud alum and he's got two kids just starting high school and he's sitting in the stadium and he's got to explain to two high schoolers the quarterback's making $1 million yet he's never thrown a pass in college. I'm sorry. That's never what I intended for NIL. I thought if a kid got 50 grand, it was a big win. Maybe your high-level guys would touch six figures. This is silliness.
Right, what I'm saying is like this, you can't just pull out a progressive name your price tool. It's just not how it works.
No, that's the problem. It's just the minute any of these kids face adversity, they're out.
The worst thing that happened, they allowed all of this with no rules. And now you're seeing what happens. Push the boundaries, see how far we can go before we go too far, and you're going to get donor fatigue, and that's where you're going to get the backlash.
You and I have talked about this. Yeah, I mean, we both have plenty of people in the college football realm at other colleges, too.
Oh, you wanted me to spend $500,000 on this guy who sits the bench and he sucks. And good luck asking me again for more money.
Guys that are in my sphere that have the level of money to be, you know, difference makers to a program, not one of them donate.
Right. So unless you get somebody in their last chapter of life like Phil Knight who just says, just take it all.
Man, I'm old. I want a title.
Just take it all.
Shoes you wear. Win.
Can't take it with me. Help me out. Get me a title.
This is their best shot. They don't do it, I'm going to start asking questions about Dan Lanning. All right, let's go around the world of college football. You got week zero this weekend, albeit it's pretty lame. But we do have Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Dublin, so at least that's something. If you want to be a total degenerate, you could watch SMU at Nevada, but I wouldn't advise it.
Nothing says Seminole like Dublin.
I know, right? Yeah. The spirit of the Irish with Florida State and Georgia Tech. David, music.
So we're going to do a little bit of a preview here. Later in the week, all of us will give our 12-team playoff bracket. But ESPN kind of goes through some things here that we can kind of preview regarding the playoff here. First is the group of five power rankings when it comes to, because the playoff, one team will get in. So at number five, they have the Miami of Ohio Redhawks.
Disgusting.
They are looking to become the first team to win back-to-back MAC football titles since Northern Illinois in 11-12.
They are the Iowa of the MAC. They play a mind-numbing, sleep-inducing brand of football. Chuck Martin refuses to go for it even on fourth and inches. I don't know what to tell you. Gabbert is gone. It's Blaine Gabbert's little bro. I don't know, man. I think Bowling Green probably wins the MAC. But, again, the networks, scumbags like this guy, they ain't ever let Miami, Ohio win.
That's just hurtful, man.
Hey, but it's true.
You know, I'm sitting right here. I can hear you.
I thought it was a direct approach. I say no to that.
I say no as well, but my feelings are hurt, David.
Next,
I may just hit the portal for this this segment.
Next on the power rankings for them will be Liberty.
Nope.
42%. They've won. They have the highest percentage of group of five teams to win the conference, but they have the worst schedule country at 134.
Thank you. And second of all, scumbags like this man.
You know what?
They're not putting.
I'm not putting up with this.
They are not putting that team into the playoff after what they did in the New Year's Six last year, where they showed their ass versus Oregon. I think a 12-0 Liberty would get passed up by an 11-1 anybody.
Does Liberty play anybody worth anything this year?
They have the worst schedule in the country. A lot of times
they have like one game that if you win that one.
No. Okay. Like at least Boise State goes to Outson.
Right.
And they'll be three touchdown underdogs, but maybe they could show they belong.
Or you pull off the upset and it's just like, yep, yeah, you can't deny them because when they play one of the big boys, they actually beat them.
No, because when the playoff comes around, Liberty's going to be doing what their old president did. They'll be like old Jerry sitting in the corner.
All righty then. Walleye. Let's go to the next team on the list.
Hey, somebody call the pool boy.
Walleye. David, read something.
Appalachian State. They haven't had a losing season during this past decade in the FBS.
Yeah.
And since joining the Sun Belt, 95%. They've won 95 games.
Yeah, App State Liberty is basically a de facto playoff game.
You're going to be a problem.
What are you talking about? Liberty's just going to be sitting in the corner watching the action.
Right. Talk about Appalachian State here.
For App State, David, it's possible. It depends on what they do against Clemson. When they go to Clemson, it looks like
if they beat Liberty lose to Clemson, and they're 11-1 and Liberty's 12-0, App State's going. That your people will not let Liberty in.
No, and if you embarrass yourself, no, which they did last year, and it's not my people, Mike. It's just when you when you're a group of five team or you're not a have. And you get your opportunity and you blow it, it's rare that you get a second chance immediately.
Next team on the list here. UTSA Roadrunners.
Rico was the pool boy. No to UTSA. It's simple. Frank Harris has graduated after 15 years. Their best defensive player transferred to Texas. He was the freshman player of the year in the conference. He had 13 sacks. I don't buy it. I don't think they're nearly as good at, like, I think Memphis is your only shot out of the American. They got an offense that averages 40 a game. They'll play Florida State. They'll get a shot. If you're 11-1 Memphis, I think you get in over Liberty. I can't go there with UTSA.
And then their number one team that will make it in the group of five power rankings will be Boise State. Now, does that change things now that they didn't name?
No, it doesn't, because they're saying we have a better chance of winning with this quarterback. So this is where you have to trust the coach. He's watching practices. He knows. I'm not just because, this guy was from USC. Nah, I'm trying to win games.
They also have a couple of the best players of non-power conference. Like Ashton Gentry could start at Georgia at running back. He's that good. 63 missed tackles forced last year. And on defense, they have arguably the best pass rusher in the non-power, the Al-Haminyan, the Egyptian kid.
Yeah,
the
only, they have 18 returning starters.
Yeah, but so. That kid is like Ziggy Ansah. He basically started playing football 10 minutes ago, and he's already a demon from the outside.
So it looks like September 10th may be the game, the weekend that we find out which one of these schools actually go. Because we talked about App State's going to be playing Clemson that day. Can you keep it close? September 2nd, Boise's playing Oregon.
If they could stay within 14,
once again, credibility. Right, if you keep it close, you could run the schedule, then yes, you could probably make it. But yes, September 7th is the day for the non-group Power Four. We're going to probably see. And if somebody upsets one of these teams, probably looking at App State beating Clemson, you're in.
And if you're Liberty, you're holding the boom mic.
And then I'll close it out with this. They have the first.
This will be a problem.
The first four out, and then the next four out of
sure,
the playoff.
Sure.
First four, LSU, Missouri, Tennessee, Oklahoma.
I have, well, first LSU, of all, Oklahoma's going to be lucky to win seven games. I disagree there. But I have no problem saying those teams don't get in. In the SEC, like I believe in Georgia, mortal lock. I'd be in disbelief if they missed it. I think it's Georgia. I think it's Alabama. I don't believe in LSU. I don't believe in some of these other schools. Like I think A&M and Ole Miss are your other two in the SEC. I don't believe in Texas this year.
Really?
I don't.
Texas is not bad.
They did not replace enough defensively, and I need to see it at wide receiver before I believe it.
They need a replacement for Adonai Mitchell?
Well, they have Silas Bolden, but again, he's the size of a water bottle.
No, I just said Adonai instead of AD.
Oh, AD was my guy. I don't know who this Adonai character
Interesting
is.
How the first four are all SEC teams, though.
LSU, the defense, it's terminal. Like, I can't buy in that they've overnight fixed that thing. Awful.
I'm willing to buy into LSU. Tennessee is the one. Man, you got to prove it to me. I've been hearing this every year for the last, since Peyton Manning.
Let's go to Liberty.
And then the next four out.
T. Martin. That was the last time they were good.
The next four out. Michigan, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and Clemson.
Michigan, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Clemson.
That's the next four out. Yeah, I mean, I don't buy K-State winning more than nine.
Oklahoma State. Eight. Yeah, Oklahoma State just always finds a way to just – In November, just lose two games. Like late in the season, they just like, how did you lose that game? And then they follow it up with another loss.
Let's check in on Liberty.
And that is.
I hate Liberty.
That is your college football blitz.
All right. Let's go around the world of college football. You got week zero this weekend, albeit it's pretty lame. But we do have Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Dublin. So at least that's something. If you want to be a total degenerate, you could watch SMU at Nevada, but I wouldn't advise it.
Nothing says Seminole like Dublin.
I know, right? Yeah. The spirit of the Irish with what? Florida State and Georgia Tech. David, music.
So we're going to do a little bit of a preview here. Later in the week, all of us will give our 12-team playoff bracket. But ESPN kind of goes through some things here that we can kind of preview regarding the playoff here. First is the group of five power rankings when it comes to, because the playoff, one team will get in. So at number five, they have the Miami of Ohio Red Hawks.
Disgusting.
They are looking to become the first team to win back-to-back MAC football titles since Northern Illinois in 11-12.
They are the Iowa of the MAC. They play a mind-numbing, sleep-inducing brand of football. Chuck Martin refuses to go for it even on fourth and inches. I don't know what to tell you. Gabbert is gone. It's Blaine Gabbert's little bro. I don't know, man. I think Bowling Green probably wins the MAC. But again, the networks, scumbags like this guy, they ain't ever let Miami, Ohio win.
That's just hurtful, man.
Yeah, but it's true.
You know, I'm sitting right here. I can hear you.
I thought it was a direct approach. I say no to that.
I say no as well, but my feelings are hurt, David.
Next,
I may just hit the portal for this segment.
Next on the power rankings for them will be Liberty.
Nope.
42%. They've won. They have the highest percentage of group of five teams to win the conference. but they have the worst schedule
Thank
in the
you.
Country at 134.
Thank yeah. you. And second of all, scumbags like this man,
you know what?
They're not putting...
I'm not, you know what? I'm not putting up with this.
They are not putting that team into the playoff after what they did in the New Year's Six last year, where they showed their ass versus Oregon. I think a 12-0 Liberty would get passed up What's by an Liberty's? 11-1 anybody.
Does Liberty play anybody worth anything this year?
They have the worst schedule in the country, so,
Of times they have like one game that if you win that one.
No. Okay. Like at least Boise State goes to Outson.
Right.
And they'll be three touchdown underdogs, but maybe
saying.
They could show they belong.
Or you pull off the upset, and it's just like, yep, yeah, you can't deny them because when they play one of the big boys, they actually beat them.
No, because when the playoff comes around, Liberty's going to be doing what their old president did. They'll be like old Jerry sitting in the corner.
Alrighty then. Walleye. Let's go to the next team on the list.
Hey, somebody call the pool boy.
Walleye. David, read something.
Appalachian State. They haven't had a losing season during this past decade in the FBS.
Yeah.
And since joining the Sun Belt, 95%. They've won 95 games.
Yeah, App State Liberty is basically a de facto playoff game.
You're going to be a problem.
What are you talking about? Liberty's just going to be sitting in the corner watching the action.
Right.
That's
all right. Talk about Appalachian State here.
For App State... David, it's possible. It depends on what they do against Clemson. When they go to Clemson, it looks like
if they beat Liberty lose to Clemson, and they're 11-1 and Liberty's 12-0, App State's going. That your people will not let Liberty in.
No, and if you embarrass yourself, no, which they did last year, and it's not my people, Mike. It's just when you when you're a group of five team or you're not a have. And you get your opportunity and you blow it, it's rare that you get a second chance immediately.
Next team on the list here. UTSA Roadrunners.
Rico was the pool boy. No to UTSA. It's simple. Frank Harris has graduated after 15 years. Their best defensive player transferred to Texas. He was the freshman player of the year in the conference. He had 13 sacks. I don't buy it. I don't think they're nearly as good at, like, I think Memphis is your only shot out of the American. They got an offense that averages 40 a game. They'll play Florida State. They'll get a shot. If you're 11-1 Memphis, I think you get in over Liberty. I can't go there with UTSA.
And then their number one team that will make it in the group of five power rankings will be Boise State. Now, does that change things now that they didn't name?
No, it doesn't, because they're saying we have a better chance of winning with this quarterback. So this is where you have to trust the coach. He's watching practices. He knows. I'm not just because, this guy was from USC. Nah, I'm trying to win games.
They also have a couple of the best players of non-power conference. Like Ashton Gentry could start at Georgia at running back. He's that good. 63 missed tackles forced last year. And on defense, they have arguably the best pass rusher in the non-power. The Al-Haminyan, the Egyptian kid.
Yeah,
they
have 18 returning starters.
Yeah, but that kid is like Ziggy Ansah. He basically started playing football 10 minutes ago, and he's already a demon from the outside.
So it looks like September 10th may be the weekend that we find out which one of these schools actually go, because we talked about App State's going to be playing Clemson that day. Can you keep it close? September 2nd, Boise's playing Oregon.
If they could stay within 14,
once again, credibility. Right, if you keep it close, you could run the schedule, then yes, you could probably make it. But yes, September 7th is the day for the non-group Power Four. We're going to probably see. And if somebody upsets one of these teams, probably looking at App State beating Clemson, you're in.
And if you're Liberty, you're holding the boom mic.
And then I'll close it out with this. They have the first.
You're a problem.
The first four out, and then the next four out of
the
playoff.
Sure.
First four, LSU, Missouri, Tennessee, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's going to be lucky to win seven games. I disagree there. But I have no problem saying those teams don't get in. In the SEC, like I believe in Georgia, mortal lock. I'd be in disbelief if they missed it. I think it's Georgia. I think it's Alabama. I don't believe in LSU. I don't believe in some of these other schools. Like, I think A&M and Ole Miss are your other two in the SEC. I don't believe in Texas this year.
Really?
I don't.
Texas is not bad.
They did not replace enough defensively, and I need to see it at wide receiver before I believe it.
They need a replacement for Adonai Mitchell?
Well, they have Silas Bolden, but again, he's the size of a water bottle.
No, I just said Adonai instead of AD.
Oh, AD was my guy. I don't know who this Adonai character
Interesting how the first four are all SEC teams, though.
LSU, the defense, it's terminal. Like, I can't buy in that they've overnight fixed that thing. Awful.
I'm willing to buy into LSU. Tennessee is the one. Man, you got to prove it to me. I've been hearing this every year for the last, Peyton Manning.
Let's go to Liberty.
And then the next four out.
T. Martin. That was the last time they were good.
The next four out. Michigan, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and Clemson.
Michigan, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Clemson.
That's the next four out. Yeah, I mean, I don't buy K-State winning more than nine.
Yeah, Oklahoma State just always finds a way to just, in November, just lose two games. Like, late in the season, they just like, how did you lose that game? And then they follow it up with another loss.
Let's check in on Liberty.
And that is...
I hate Liberty.
That is your college football blitz.